In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, yeah, unlike last week, this is the Jesus we like. Last week, we had cranky Jesus. This is the one that we want to see, though, the caring, compassionate Jesus who stands up to the bullies in the synagogue. I mean, here he is on the Sabbath in the synagogue, and this poor woman comes in, bent over and ailing for 18 years. I had back surgery a few years ago. It didn't last 18 years, and it was awful trying to deal with that. If you've been through a crippling time in your life, you know. And she's been this way for 18 years. And Jesus beckons her over. She doesn't come to him. She's not seeking healing necessarily, but Jesus sees her in need and calls her over. Come here. And the woman sounds a little harsh to our ears. We get the same thing at the crucifixion when he calls his mother Mary, woman. It's a much more endearing term than it sounds like to us. You poor dear, you're set free from your ailment. And she stands up and she praises God. And I mean, what else are you going to do on the Sabbath in the synagogue but praise God and thank God for release from bondage? I mean, that's what it's all about. Except for this guy, the leader of the synagogue, who just gets indignant, it says. I don't even convey it well enough. And notice he doesn't fuss at Jesus so much as at the woman. How dare you come in here to the synagogue of all places and seek healing on the Sabbath? Like she had done something wrong. She hadn't even been seeking healing so much. She wasn't bothering Jesus. Jesus saw her. And knew she had a need and knew he could help her. And I think knew that she would give God the glory for it. And that Jesus, in doing this, as in everything that Jesus did, points to the Father, points to God and his love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Everything that Jesus does is about doing that, pointing back to God. And yet some people are so worried that the rules were broken because good was done on the Sabbath. We were talking about it in Sunday school. I say Sunday school. It was Erica and Lucy and me. But we were talking and just kind of walking through the process here. Is it better to do good or to do bad on the Sabbath? I mean, back in creation, according to Genesis, you know, it said there were 7 days of creation. Take that how you will. But the seventh day was set aside for rest. And yet it became something that was onerous to people. Instead of the Sabbath being a time of delight and rest and joy and relaxation, it became nerve-wracking. Wait, what am I supposed to be able to do or not do? You know, God didn't give a whole list of rules of what to do or not do on the Sabbath. That was people trying, I think, and bless their hearts, to help people understand how to keep the Sabbath holy. But God never said, you know, don't walk more than 10,000 paces or whatever the rule was they came up with. They were trying to interpret what it meant to keep the Sabbath holy. But of course, holy means set apart for God. The Sabbath is meant to be a time of quiet and peace and reflection and acknowledgement of God. That so much of our time is spent worrying about things and dealing with life and going to work and taking care of children or parents or whatever it is we have on our plates, that we have to be intentional about taking some small bit of time to remember God, to worship God and to praise God and to thank God. And this woman coming in and Jesus healing her, it didn't take any more effort than it takes for you or me to reach for an extra drumstick. He stretched out his hands and touched her, and she was healed after 18 years of bondage. And yet people perceived him as breaking the rules. He did something wrong. He broke one of their rules. How often do we feel inclined to follow some set of rules that we perceive to be there, and it keeps us from doing good? That's not what Jesus did. He didn't worry about what these rules were that people had made up. He just knew here was someone who needed help, and he could help them, and help them he did. And if we are to model our lives after Christ, then that says that we do that kind of thing too. That instead of worrying about who we might be upsetting by doing good, we do the good. Jesus didn't worry about this guy in the synagogue, and in fact, he made him look like an idiot. You'll release your ox from bondage to give it some water. Why not this daughter of Abraham, this human being, this person who looks like you and is descended like you and is part of you and is loved by God just like you? Don't they deserve at least as much consideration as you give your donkey? I'm not sure how well that guy did the rest of his time at that synagogue, how long he kept being a leader when people realized that he wouldn't treat this poor, crippled woman any better than he would treat his donkey. And yet that's the position sometimes people find themselves in. They're much more willing to be kind and caring and compassionate to animals than they are to human beings created in the image and likeness of God. And I hope we never find ourselves in that position where we're more compassionate towards animals than we are towards our brothers and sisters, created and loved like us by God. May God give us the strength and the courage and the compassion to do as Christ did, to love others as our neighbor, as ourselves, to love and to care and to be compassionate, no matter what we might think the rules are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.